much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I'm hearing about a noise complaint.
Someone called to complain that you're not making enough noise.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Sunshine on my
vagina
makes me happy.
That sounds like could be a Britney Spears title.
Oh, you bastard! Homophobe! Homophobe!
And now.
I'm sorry.
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 Good, that's the one.
Our feature presentation.
Okay.
Wow, that guy was particular.
I'm going to miss Brooklyn Nine-Nine, by the way.
Has it been canceled or just for the hiatus?
Yeah, it's just done. First season is just done. Yeah, it's sad. I love that show so much.
That's a good show.
Instantly became one of my favorites.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:34. It is Wednesday, the 2nd of April.
What's crackolating, you guys? Anything new?
Well, you know, gorilla pepper like we do.
Besides the fact that it's going to be 90 degrees next week in L.A.?
Oh, I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah, apparently it's rebounding. Apparently this BS mist in the sky is about to disappear.
Well, I'll tell you, it's been impossible to even go outside in this 60-degree weather.
Yeah, it's
insane. It was 50 this morning,
It's crazy 50. That they make
I
you guys
like
go to work.
Right. Or something.
I mean, don't you feel like the proper thing for management to do would be go, look, it's unrealistic for people to safely travel in this kind of weather.
Correct.
No job is worth risking your life.
I'd say anything under, say, 75.
Sure.
Should have that policy.
Anyway, got a huge Kevin and Bean Show for you today. We'll tell you all about it in a minute. But first, this story is so juicy, I could not save it for the next Bean's Death Corner. You guys remember the single bullet theory was what came out of the Kennedy assassination when when all the talk was about how many shots were fired and how do they go and how many people do they hit, and there was this theory that the one bullet had gone through the president's head and also it hit Governor Connally in the car. We're talking about John F. Kennedy assassination back in Dallas in November 63, and people are like, well, how unlikely is it that you could have one bullet that would kill two people, right? I mean, clearly there had to be more shooters or more shots or more something, because it just doesn't work that way. Well, here's the story of a British sniper with one bullet who killed six Taliban in Afghanistan. One bullet, six Taliban.
Did he kill one and then go retrieve the bullet and put it back in the gun? Start again?
Yeah, because, budgets are cut with the armed services and you got to really make it go as far as you can. Any theories on how he did it before I tell you the unlikely story?
Well, they had to be grouped very closely together, like in a bunker. And
in a line. Like they were marching.
They were close together.
Yeah.
Yes, you're accurate about that.
And not in a house, I doubt. Walking in a line. I think I'm with Lisa.
A single shot from a British sniper killed six Taliban insurgents when the bullet hit the trigger switch of the would-be suicide bomber's device, says the Ministry of Defense.
Ah, that's so great.
That's good shooting.
How is that for a shot?
Wow.
The 20-year-old marksman, by the way, 20, just killed six dudes with one bullet. A Lance Corporal in the Coldstream Guards fired the shot from 850 meters away.
Wow.
Hitting the device, by the way, beer mug couldn't run 850 meters. That's how far
crazy.
That is. Hitting the device, which exploded, killing the bomber and five men around him. The incident took place in Kakaran in southern Afghanistan's Helmand province. It happened back in December, by the way. It has just now been disclosed as Britain prepares to withdraw all combat forces by the end of the year. The sniper's name was not released. Apparently, the killing off all those guys also prevented another major attack, as a second suicide vest packed with 44 pounds of explosives was found nearby. The guy was wearing a vest. He was identified by the sniper moving down a tree line and coming up over a ditch. He had a shawl on. It rose up, and the sniper saw that he had a machine gun. They were in contact, and he was moving to a firing position. The sniper engaged him, and the guy exploded.
Could you imagine? Because that sniper knows what bullet he's using and what damage it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he pulls the trigger, and then there's this huge explosion. He's like, what just happened?
Right. There was a pause on the radio, and the sniper said, I think I've just shot a suicide bomber. The rest of them were killed in the blast. And that's exactly what happened.
Wow.
So a little bit of a lucky shot, but obviously the sniper gets the credit. I mean, he certainly put that bullet where it needed to be, but that's just a great return on your odds right there.
No kidding. We need to get like 50 of him. Can we do that? Can we clone now?
Sure. I like it.
Be great. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
See, now that right there is a lie.
I haven't said anything yet. Most likely it will be a lie, but I haven't lied yet. There's Klingon beer. That's real.
Oh, finally.
That's not a lie.
There is Klingon beer. So that's happening. We'll tell you about that. Brand new citizen of the day. We're going to take a look at some of the new TV shows that are coming on with Michael Schneider. We have, I don't know if you saw the story that somebody mailed some cocaine to the Pope.
Well, the Pope seems like he's down for lots of things that previous popes haven't been down for.
He does, right?
I think he's probably partied.
Maybe give it a shot. You think he's partied?
I think so.
He used to be a bouncer in a bar, you guys, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's so awesome. That Pope is the best. The Pope is the best. We're going to give you an update on video games today. You smoked what? We're going to take your phone calls on the program.
I'm excited.
We were talking yesterday about this this new thing that supposedly is sweeping the country, which is smoking coffee. And what a great idea that is.
Muggs, if you don't try it, I don't understand how the world works.
I don't know. Maybe.
Bean, you don't understand how the world works?
Apparently not.
That's fine.
I just assumed that this would be right up Muggs' alley.
Adam Carolla will be on the program today. He's got a new TV show called To Catch a Contractor. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
I have seen it.
A couple episodes in. And we've got your tickets for April Foolishness in the party bus section, which is right up front.
Okay.
Plus Coachella at 9 a.m., as we do every day. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat now. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 5:52.
And with all that show we already told you about, we didn't even mention Arctic Monkeys tickets for Staples Center August 7th. Today, tickets in the third row. You can win them coming up. In fact, next hour between 6 and 7, we've got them for you here on K-Rock. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
And throughout the morning, I'll be giving away tickets for boxing at the Fabulous Forum and premiere passes to the new Johnny Depp film, Transcendence.
Sweet. We got it covered.
Just start giving stuff away now and finish when we get off the air.
Lots of giveaways, but nothing right now. Sorry. Just showbiz news. They've dodged the question for some time now, like a couple of undercover spies would. But now the Americans co-stars, Kerry Russell and Matthew Rhys, admit that they are a real-life couple.
Oh, is that
they
right?
Are?
Yeah.
About that?
People magazine say Kerry, who's 38, and Matthew, who's 39, were spotted out on a date on March the 27th at the New York City's Public Theater, where they watched the play The Library, a new play directed by Steven Soderbergh, that my buddy's starring in, by the way.
Was that right?
My best friend starring in that.
How about that?
Yeah. And that's when they were spotted, and they're admitting, yes, they are currently dating. So
you think I approve.
Do you think the people who make the TV show, though, are like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Because what happens if...
You know who probably doesn't approve, Bean, is Carrie's husband, Shane Deary.
Oh, I thought she was married with a child.
Married of nearly 7 years. They have a 6-year-old son, Lisa, and a 2-year-old daughter.
Oh, boy.
So he's uptight.
So once again, Bean is all for...
Yeah, that's true.
Children not having parents.
For home wrecking. That's what I'm about. No, I just, you know how you see two people and you go, hey, they seem like a good couple. They seem compatible. They seem like a good fit. I'm happy for them. That's how I feel about these two.
Minds TV equals real life.
Right.
If you see somebody who looks good on a television screen together,
must be real in my cyber brain.
I don't know either of them, do you? Do you know anything about either of them?
Of course no, but I'm just saying, they, you know, some couples just, they make sense and make you happy. You know what I'm talking about, Lisa.
Okay.
Lisa's not even on your side here.
He's been waiting for Don Draper to get together with his TV wife forever now.
But they look good on television.
By the way, how did we start the whole show and no one paid any attention to Creepy Bean singing Sunshine on My Vagina in this morning's opening? Did we just gloss right over that?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened.
We just glossed.
Yeah.
It's too much creepy. We can't keep up.
It wasn't meant to be creepy at all. It was just, it was a
can
comment.
Can you play it, please?
Yes, it was a comment, obviously, on the story about Shane Woodley that you guys did when I was on vacation.
Shalene.
I wasn't here for that.
Shalene,
right. So I put it together when I came back from vacation, figuring that story would eventually come back up again, and
right.
I'd have it. And then we never talked about it again. So
let's hear it.
Sunshine on my
vagina
makes me happy.
Come on.
That happened.
Was the story about sunshine on a vagina, were those words used in the story?
Yes.
Then mission accomplished.
It's not about the facts of the story.
I like mission accomplished.
What is happening?
The delivery system, I think.
So good. Thank you. Thank you, random person. It is so good.
I've got issues with. Speaking of Shailene Woodley.
Yes.
Star Magazine's got a story in there this week saying she is turning into a complete Hollywood diva.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. The success of her film Divergent is gone right to her head. And sources close to the actress say she's become difficult with her fans, demands VIP rooms in every club she goes to, and now has her personal bodyguards blocking anyone from taking pictures of her or getting near her.
Wow.
Good times.
She's following Justin Bieber. His footsteps.
I think it's Bean's song that made her.
Could
know
be.
That she was,
can we hear that again?
She was very popular.
Sunshine. On my vagina makes me happy.
You did nail it, though. I'll give you that.
How many takes, Bean?
Musically, you're
it's
right on.
It's seamless, isn't it?
just one.
Musically, it was just one take. That's not a little pitchy, dog.
Not at all, dog. Okay, this is happening. Ink Master is coming back for a fifth season on Spike TV. Ink Master.
All right.
It's a story about guys who give tattoos. Ink Master. Spike TV bringing Ink Master back for a fifth season. Joe Schmo, canceled. Ink Master, season 5. It's the world we live in. Esquire Network. You're watching the Esquire Network?
Didn't know it existed.
I don't know where
There's
it is.
There's a lot of really interesting programming on the Esquire Network. Yeah.
Like what?
I can recommend it highly. They did this thing called, I'm going to forget the name of it now, but it's a travel show where they take two celebrities, one that comes from the city and one who doesn't but has always wanted to visit there, and that person has to show them around.
Oh, that's cool.
They recently had...
Sounds like a terrible TV show, though.
It could be interesting.
Look at that. Isn't that something?
It's not when you have Rashida Jones being shown Dublin by Tom... who's the guy?
Berenger?
No, what's the guy from Family Tree? The Irish actor.
Oh,
who's in the
I don't know his name.
Chris O'Dowd.
Yes.
Chris O'Dowd, yeah.
Chris O'Dowd.
Oh, how cool.
How funny and hilarious are those two going around together?
I like it.
Or Joel McHale was just over in London being shown around by some British actor. What was going on? It was a very funny show. It's wildly entertaining. Huh. So, Mr. Dismiss at First Sight. You'd
so
be
good.
Wrong.
It's so good.
So good.
But they also have that Friday Night Tykes, isn't that them?
That just got renewed as well, Friday Night Tykes.
What is that?
Controversial show about youth football. About little kids playing football, 8 and 9-year-olds playing football.
In Texas, where it's religion.
Of course.
Yeah, it's tantamount to child abuse, what they do to some of these kids. But one of the coaches had got suspended because he was telling one of his players to hit another opponent in the head.
Really?
Yeah, 8 and 9-year-olds.
Wow.
This is what's going on. But it's fascinating. And more TV news. Looks like Michael Strahan will be added to Good Morning America.
This guy
can't stop being successful. Kelly and Michael's a big hit. Of course, he's on Fox during the NFL season, and now he's going to be on Good Morning America as well.
He's a very good broadcaster, Michael Strahan.
Very likable, that's for sure. Today's celebrity birthday is Christopher Maloney, 53 years old today. He is a talented actor who does not like living up to his obligations.
Yes.
Actor Clark Gregg. Our buddy Clark Gregg.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 52 years old today. Rosalind Sanchez, the actress, is 41 years old. Adam Rodriguez is 39. Michael Fassbender is 37 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Congratulations to somebody whose name is gone.
Oh.
Steve Crossman from Rancho Cucamonga is our latest winner.
Yes, he got tickets to see Arctic Monkeys at Staples Center. They are playing the 7th of August, and tickets go on sale Friday at 10.
Very cool.
Good luck.
So 5th row on Monday, and then 4th row yesterday, 3rd row today.
Right.
2nd row tomorrow?
I don't know. It's unclear.
Okay. Guess we'll find out.
Yeah. Let's talk about this bizarre story. You know... Star Trek is an old series.
Yes.
You would think they would have done everything that they're going to do by now with merchandising. Well, they have Klingon beer now. Klingon beer.
Star Trek's forever.
Yep. Star Trek is forever, as a matter of fact.
Blah, blah, blah. They think they have everything.
Roland?
Yes, it's Roland.
This time we were actually talking about something that perhaps...
I know, I heard you. That's why I called you.
You sound a little tipsy this morning. It's awfully early to be...
Where's the plane?
I'm just saying it seems early in the day for you to already be drinking, if that's what's going on there.
Well, Roland. It seems late in the day if you're on Rigel 7.
But you're not.
Or am I?
Well, I mean... Oh, you're having some more.
So you've already got the Klingon beer. We just heard about it this morning. We don't know anything about it, but you've already got it and you're drinking it. Roland, do you speak Klingon?
What does that mean?
Of course I speak Klingon. Don't does it everyone?
No, everyone doesn't.
Well,
is that an insult?
Yeah.
Okay. According to... You don't know, do you?
I do know. Hold on a second. Right. Let me try to think of the translation. May your sphincter always be filled with tribbles.
Okay.
Wow, those are fighting words right there. Right.
According to the article that we're looking at, this beer is going to roll out in Las Vegas, and how do you already have it?
Because I am one of the foremost Star Trek aficionados?
Fans.
Right.
Wow. And so they gave me a tester case, as they call it.
I see.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I'm testing it. I
How is it, by the way? I know the novelty factor being Klingon beer, that's fun for you, but how does it taste compared to, say, regular beer?
It tastes like a gorn.
What? What's a gorn?
I was the creature that Kirk fought.
Okay.
And I've never actually tasted one, but if I have tasted one, I would assume it tastes like this.
All right, let me back up to Bean's question and ask you, have you had other beer to compare? Have you had beer other than Klingon beer?
I once had a beer at my cousin's graduation ceremony, a party.
Okay.
Okay.
I had a sip of beer.
A sip.
Okay.
And I did not care for it.
So it sounds like maybe you're not a good candidate to drink this much. It sounds like it's hitting you pretty hard there, Roland.
How dare you? The Klingon Empire says death to you.
So Klingon war... Whoa!
That phaser to bite me.
This is called Klingon Warnog. What is
Warnog?
What does Warnog mean?
Are you familiar with eggnog?
Yes, sure.
Eggnog is made from eggs.
Right.
Okay.
Warnog is made from war.
Okay, that doesn't make sense.
And what does that mean, Roland?
I mean, is that girl single in your room there?
Lisa May?
Yeah.
Technically, yeah.
I'd like to give her a Vulcan nerve pinch.
Is that how it works with you?
Yeah, that's how it works with me, baby.
Yeah, because you pass out, I believe.
Right,
He's looking for that kind of action.
I'm gonna set phasers for...
Oh, Roland!
Jeez.
You can set your phaser for that? Poor guy. Roland!
Oh, man. Ew.
Oh, you all right?
Live long and vomit.
Speaking of Kings of Leon, did I mention that Victoria's Secret model Lily Aldridge, whose husband is in the band, was here at K-Rock when Kings of Leon was playing the Red Bull Sound Space?
Yeah, she was hanging out in the Kevin and Bean office.
With her best girlfriend, Alessandra Ambrosio, as well.
Yeah.
You know what would be a fun phone-in topic?
You know who wasn't here? Me.
Kevin or Bean. Yeah. You know what would be a fun phone-in topic sometime that I don't think we've ever done is you just missed it.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Because you know people, yes, that has happened to so many people where they've showed up and you're not going to believe what just happened 20 minutes ago. You should have been here.
Now, I've met Alessandra Ambrosio before and I failed to impress her, but I believe that was only step one.
Well, you were just sowing the seeds there.
Right.
You were getting her aware of you. She gazed upon you. You know she's been thinking about it. You know that's been rolling around in her head. Is it whatever happened to that Kevin dude?
That
hey, I'm going to K-Rock. Maybe I'll have another shot.
Dude that I met at Coachella that was all buzzed and acting like an idiot. I really want more of that.
So you could have closed that deal if only you'd been here. So we got. Let's make a note. We got to do that. That would be super fun for
you
people.
You just missed out on meeting or
exactly
on
or doing or seeing
winning,
or whatever. Yeah. So anyway, so that was our ultimate sadness last week. But great times for the people who were there at Kings of Leon who got to hang out with them.
Right now it is time for...
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
I'll give you your choice. You guys have to pick one if you can. There is a Texas Workforce Solution business, and they help you find a job. If you're out of a job, you go to them, and they help you. And if you need training, they'll train you. If you need to put together a resume, they'll help you with your resume.
Oh, that's great.
They'll put you in touch job interviews. They train you for that. So there's a dude who sent in his resume to the company, and the woman called police.
Immediately?
Immediately. And then the police went to the guy's house, and they said, look, if you're going to send out a resume, maybe don't include a picture of your penis.
Hold on a second here. What kind of job was he applying for?
It was just random.
Oh.
Not just any job.
A job that did not require us to see his penis.
Well, it's not like he was a porn star or anything. He attached it to his resume.
But is there a section that says special talents?
I don't have the information.
I know you would put speak Spanish or...
Has this, or check this.
He was given a ticket for obscene display or distribution, a Class C misdemeanor. So apparently you're not allowed now in America. You're not allowed to add a penis picture to your resume.
That's such a slap down. He's looking for a job and then he gets a fine.
Right.
What's wrong with this country?
That guy's day is not going well.
No.
Pennsylvania tree trimmer is incredibly lucky to be alive after an accident that left him with a chainsaw blade embedded in his neck.
Yay!
This x-ray is something that if you look at, you will never forget.
James Valentine, 21 years old, pruning trees. The chainsaw kicked back and hit him in the neck. His colleagues removed the motor but left the blade, which missed major arteries but cut into the muscle, so they couldn't get it out. And they were afraid to take it out because it would cause too much blood loss.
Mm-hmm. So he's just going to live with it?
Yeah, forever. He literally just went to the ER with a chainsaw blade in his neck.
You see that sometimes
yes.
where like they have a pole through their middle and they just transport the whole pole along with the person?
According to the surgeon, he didn't lose control. He wasn't crying uncontrollably. He was just holding still.
Wow.
And he was perfectly calm.
Wow, he handled that just right.
He was
they were so smart. I mean, because I think anyone's impulse on the scene doing triage would be to pull the blade out of the guy's neck, but thank God they didn't, and they were smart enough to realize he would bleed out.
I don't know. I don't know that I would. I think I would just be scared to do anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I wouldn't think through maybe it would bleed out. I would just think, I'm staying out of this.
No, don't touch it.
He's got a chainsaw on his neck.
But you see this x-ray, and I know you did, Kevin.
Yeah.
You go, 99 times out of 100,
yes.
that person is dead. And it's just, it's a miracle that it didn't hit anything.
So he's definitely a Citizen of the Day candidate, although most of the time it's for stupid people. A Las Vegas woman hired to give man a $300 massage allegedly stole his $35,000 Rolex. He met her at a bar.
Yeah.
Problem one.
Yeah.
She said she's a masseuse. She could come up to his room in the Wynn Hotel.
Nice.
He said, fine. How much? $300. They went up. She started giving him a massage. She said, you know what? That Rolex is kind of in the way. I need to massage your arms. Would you mind moving the Rolex? So he said, no problem. So he took the Rolex off. And then about 7 minutes later, when they were finished, he looked up and the Rolex is not there. And she said, all right, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
And he's like, no.
Suspicious.
Hold on, no. So he called security, and they came up, and they searched the room. They couldn't find the Rolex anywhere. So the security called the police, and the police took her, the masseuse,
mm-hmm.
to the hospital where they did an x-ray, and they found the Rolex in her vagina.
Sunshine on my vagina makes me happy.
Didn't have time to cut a new Rolex in my vagina makes me happy.
Come
Sorry.
On. Get with it. This is maybe the dumbest person in the world. According to cops, Angela Timmons is her name. She sent a message to her daughter She's in North Carolina. Her daughter is in New York. So she sends a text to her daughter saying, please call 911 and tell them that that there's a shooter at my school and I'm hiding for cover.
Oh
I'm
God.
Taking cover.
Okay.
And I'm hiding for my own safety. Please call 911 and tell them that.
Terrifying.
So her daughter texted her back, is like, where are you? What's going on? Can I give them more information? No response, no response, no response.
That's so frightening.
So the daughter calls the police and the police show up at this Virginia college and mom said, oh, that, no, April Fool's.
No.
Oh, no.
That was an April Fool's joke. I do it all the time to her.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that funny?
What an idiot.
April Fool's. So then they went in. They checked all the texts. There was no follow-up. There was no, hey, this is April Fool's. There was nothing to lead her daughter to think that perhaps this wasn't actually happening for real.
Nothing more hilarious than telling a family member, by the way,
right,
that you're in a lockdown with a school shooter.
Yeah, there's a shooter and you're hiding for your safety. So she was arrested and booked into county jail where she was being held on several charges, including aggravated breach of peace. I don't even understand that. And disturbing a school. I didn't know that existed.
Bad pranksterism.
Exactly. And finally, a New Jersey man caught riding a tricycle naked.
Ow.
Eating glass. Doesn't it sound like this story should be set
naked
in Florida?
Yes.
It sure does.
It's the least
Lakewood
of the
police got a call about a butt-naked man riding a tricycle around the Crossroads apartment complex.
Sort of disbelief. I actually had to read the report twice.
Yeah.
That's the cop who read the report, and he was like, wait a minute, let me go back over that. The guy's naked and he's riding a tricycle?
But Sergeant Greg Stafford Smith says by the time an officer got there, well, he found him
underneath the stairwell of one of the apartment buildings. At the time, Mr. Jones was chewing on some glass and cigarette tobacco.
Cocaine, that's what the officer says. 31-year-old Jermaine Jones of Trenton admitted taking minor cuts in his mouth from chewing glass, now facing being under the influence of a controlled dangerous substance and disorderly conduct charges.
So there you go. There's your citizens of the day. Who do we choose? Who do we like? Do we like dumbass mom, April Fool's? Do we like stole Rolex and vagina? I mean, that's pretty strong.
Boy, it's a good. That's a great batch.
Or do we like a man eating tricycle naked eating glass?
He sounds more like our kind of guy. That's the kind of guy I would want to party with. Let's give it to him.
Riding tricycle naked eating glass is the citizen of the day, ladies and gentlemen.
Now you know, Kevin and Beans. Citizen of the Day.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
I don't know, Tatum Channing. I would watch that.
How about Channing Tatum?
Or that guy.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
Tatum Channing.
Tatum Channing.
Great Channing.
That's what I call him in private.
Sure. Hey, guys.
What you call him in public?
Apparently so. There's too many new TV shows being advertised all the time that I don't know what to even try because there's only so many hours of the day. Like, do you watch The Turn? Do you watch Silicon Valley? Do you watch Fargo? Do you watch Salem? There's so many of them. So we're going to catch up with our friend from the TV Guide. Michael Schneider joins us right after the top of the hour with kind of a mid-season preview of what's next on TV. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday. Good morning, Ralph.
Speaking of TV, next time you want to complain about American television, just shut up.
Why?
Because you could be watching French television.
Uh-huh. Sorry, could I hear that again, please?
Uh-huh.
Okay. What's going on in the France?
TV network in France recently aired a 9-hour program which featured a man walking backwards.
For 9 hours?
Yeah.
Was it a loop or did he literally walk backwards from...
28-year-old man walked in reverse through the streets of Tokyo in Japan, a film... Film crew filmed it for 9 hours, and then when they aired it, they played it in reverse, so it looked like the man was walking forwards and everyone else was walking backwards.
What?
For 9 hours. That was a 9-hour television program.
What is happening?
I am watching that for a minute to find out what this doesn't make sense, and then at minute one, I'm gone. 9 hours.
TV executives hailed it as a small revolution for French television. Let them eat cake, I say. This network, Slow TV, it's called.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Are these our friends from Norway?
I believe it's the same people. This is the same network that aired a video of a burning log.
Right.
And people knitting for days on end.
Sure. That's right.
Slow TV's latest accomplishment, 9 hours of a man walking backwards, but then played backwards, so it appeared as if he was walking forwards and everyone else was walking backwards.
No point in that. No point in that at all.
So, you know, could be worse. That's all I'm saying.
Not interested!
All right, let me give away some tickets.
Okay.
To a very cool event. It is boxing returning to the Fabulous Forum.
Yay!
The Forum, of course, has all been revamped, rejuvenated, revived.
I haven't seen it yet since they redid it.
It's beautiful. Yeah? It's a beautiful, beautiful complex now. May 17th at the Forum, boxing returns. Excuse me. Marquez versus Alvarado. Tickets are right now on sale at, I forget where you go to get those tickets for this boxing.
Ticketmaster!
It's Dave in a canyon. You can go to Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets for Marquez versus Alvarado, May 17th at the Forum. Of course, you could just call me right now. 1-800-520-1067.
Ticketmaster!
That's the number to call. And let's say caller number 17, since it's May the 17th, is the event. Caller number 17 at that phone number will receive a pair of tickets to Marquez versus Alvarado at the Fabulous Forum. More television news. Our buddy Jimmy Kimmel tonight on his show, Jimmy Kimmel Live, will have a special guest, former President Bill Clinton.
Wow.
No kidding.
Wow.
No kidding.
Our buddy Jimmy sitting down with President Bill Clinton.
How about that?
I'm amazed.
Little conversation.
I'm amazed every day about him.
Letterman has Gaga on. If you want to check that out, she'll be wearing a dress made of human flesh.
Let me ask you guys. We're no Jimmy. I mean, he's a professional. He
professional, baby.
Every bit of the success that he's had, and he's well qualified for that job, and he does it better than any of us could possibly. But what would you talk to President Clinton about if you were in his shoes tonight? I mean, how often do you get an opportunity?
How much tail are you getting now that you're out of office?
Boning. Talk about boning.
But on TV, Kevin, what would you seriously talk to President Clinton about? I mean, it would just be – that would be a daunting interview to approach, wouldn't it?
He's got several charitable organizations.
Boring.
Going right now.
I mean, you're the guy who loves presidents.
I'm just saying. I would still be terrified.
There's no conversation you've had with Bill Clinton that's boring, by the way.
Yeah, he's
all you have to do is show up. He is endlessly fascinating.
Well, that's
and
true
charming.
Too. That's true
he
too.
He really does a lot of the work for you. This isn't, you know.
No, I understand.
George Herbert Walker Bush we're talking about.
But I mean, haven't you always had questions for presidents about what that job is
easy,
like, and what that life is like?
President Boner, just relax.
I'm just saying it's thrilling. The prospect of being able to spend 20 minutes with a president is just pretty exciting. Now, any president.
What, didn't you just start by saying what would he have to talk to him about?
I'm just saying, but you
make
don't
up
want
your
to
mind.
No, I'm saying I have a lot of questions, but I would be terrified to ask because you want to be respectful and make it interesting and not embarrass yourself. I mean, I think there's a lot of pressure involved.
I don't think
doing
Jimmy has any of that.
Like that. No, well, that's why I started by saying he's a professional. He'll do great, I'm sure. But I would be scared S-less if that were
can
me
we
having to interview
stop
the president
about presidents now.
I was excited by the story that you were doing on the show, Bisbee.
Yeah, inappropriately so.
I believe you need to bring in highlights, Bean, as you're the only person who is obsessed with presidents.
I think of 100 people I'd rather talk to before any president.
Really?
Yeah.
All hot chicks?
Well, lots of them.
Yeah.
Pablo Escobar. I'd like to interview him.
He was the bachelor, right?
He was a famous drug lord of the Medellin cartel, or cartel, as Schwarzenegger would say. During the height of his operations, his cartel was doing more than $60 million in drug trafficking a day.
Yeah. It's like 80% of the United States or something like that.
Fascinating story. Netflix is doing a series about Pablo Escobar.
Are they really?
Yeah. Show will be called Narcos. We'll run for 10 episodes beginning in 2015. Brazilian actor Wagner Moura apparently will star as the drug lord, so that's good news. And we're just talking about new television that's coming around. BBC America is going to air a series called The Musketeers, based on, you guessed it, the legendary book The Three Musketeers, written by Kevin, of course.
The woman that wrote 50 Shades of Grey.
Or Alexandre Dumas.
Right.
It debuts Sunday, June the 22nd, but is already confirmed there will be a season 2.
What?
That's good news. But here's the thing about BBC America. A lot of times we will see a delayed release of a show that's already airing in England. And the show is such a hit in the UK that the BBC's already ordered a second season. So it looks like we'll be getting at least 2 seasons of The Musketeers here in the United States.
But that's it for England. They go 2 seasons and they're out.
They don't beat They don't beat it into the ground, that's for sure.
They do not.
They like to hit it and quit it. Give you something good and then move on. Which I think more American TV networks should take.
Yeah, I agree. But then there are shows like, you know, Breaking Bad that I'm happy they went five. You know, they had five.
But if you didn't know the other five were coming, you wouldn't miss them.
Yeah, maybe so.
If you saw two seasons of that, be like, that was the greatest two seasons of television ever.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Fassbender, very talented and well-hung actor, is 37 years old today. Actress Rosalind Sanchez is 41. Adam Rodriguez, the actor, is 39. Clark Gregg, how great is he on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
He's great at everything.
He's just the best. We love him so much. He's 52. And actor Christopher Maloney, formerly of Law & Order SVU. Now he's surviving Jack, 53 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Our friend Adam Carolla joins us later on this morning talking about his new TV show, To Catch a Contractor. Later this hour, we're going to talk to a man who was there at the Call of Duty World Championships. The championship tourney happened in Los Angeles this past week with $1 million in prize money. You can make huge money playing Call of Duty, Kevin.
That is a thing. Well, I couldn't because I'm terrible at it. But
right. Just seems like a lot of people driving to work right now thinking that sounds like a way better way to make a living.
Sure.
I'll tell you that. Speaking of a great way to make a living, how about being immersed in the wonder that is television? The LA Bureau Chief for TV Guide Magazine, our friend Michael Schneider, talks to us on the phone from New York City. Hey, Mike, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. It's my favorite chuckleheads.
What kind of exciting TV Guide business are you doing in the Big Apple this week, Michael?
Oh, so exciting. You know, all that behind-the-scenes business stuff that I'm sure is scintillating to your listeners.
Sure. Let me tell you guys should be following Mike on Twitter at Franklin Avenue because he does so many cool things. For instance, you know, we give away those tickets to the Paley Festival events. You did Community last week. You did the Mad Men the week before. You've just been right in the thick of those things, and those things are so much fun, dude.
Yeah, I had a staring contest with John Hamm, which is one of the more bizarre things I've ever done in my career.
Yeah, that's odd.
Yeah, very odd, but you know, it's weird. He is kind of dreamy. I gotta say.
Did so you
weird.
Just get hypnotized in his eyes?
So he won.
I would say I won, but you know, he's the celebrity, so celebrities always win.
I see.
Exactly. He won at life.
Well, he certainly did. Well, listen, the reason we wanted to have you on is it used to be very easy to keep track of what the new TV shows were coming on. First of all, there weren't a billion channels, many of which we've never heard of before. And second of all, it seemed like all the shows used to come on at the same time and then go away at the same time, and then everything was in reruns. Man, is that not the case anymore. It seems like there's always some new show premiering, and that's now more than ever, right?
Yeah, you used to be able to take a break in spring. It was repeats. You caught up on shows that maybe you missed before. But the thing is now, there's so much good stuff coming on this spring that forget about it. You got to move on to these new shows now.
Now, would you mind if I threw out some titles, Michael, and you could just give me kind of your impressions, your thumbnail sketch on whether it's going to be worth taking some time to look at?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
One that we've been seeing a lot on you know, all of our AMC shows, including The Walking Dead that just wrapped up, is Turn. It's a Revolutionary War spy show, I think?
Yeah, it's a little different. I mean, it's if you watch Sleepy Hollow, it's nothing like Sleepy Hollow.
Good.
yeah, it's sort of the secret of the Revolutionary War spies, which we haven't really heard much about in the past. You know, it's an interesting. I like that it's an original idea, and they're trying something different. But it's not the new AMC show I'm looking forward to. There's another show coming up called Halt and Catch Fire that takes place in the early days of the computer revolution in the 80s, and it's kind of the Americans meets Mad Men. With a little Silicon Valley thrown in. So I would sort of keep on the lookout for that one instead.
What was the name of that?
It's called Halt and Catch Fire. It's going to be coming along later, sometime in the summer.
Okay. That's a terrible title.
That
though,
is a terrible
right?
title.
Yeah, I guess it's like a computer term. Yeah, it's not the best title in the world, but move past that. Lee Pace stars in it, and he's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, I love him. I love him, yeah. You mentioned Silicon Valley. I don't know if you're referring to the place or the new show that's getting ready to premiere on HBO, but tell us about that.
Yeah, that's great. I actually just watched the first episode not too long ago. It's Mike Judge, so you know automatically it's going to be hysterical. But
yep.
Also,
he's King of the Hill. He's Beavis and Butthead. He's Office Space for folks who don't recognize the name.
And the most important thing is this is sort of like Office Space set in the world of Silicon Valley.
Great.
And it's sort of a satire, but it also, it really gets Silicon Valley right. It sort of makes fun of those companies with ridiculous names, but it also just has a great cast as well. It sort of reminds me of the cast of Freaks and Geeks back in the day. It's everything right is going on in this show. So definitely, like, put Silicon Valley on your DVR. You won't be disappointed.
Okay.
And by the way, that and Turn, just to keep track, are both this weekend. That's good. Those are going to be on April 6th, which is Sunday night. Okay, let's move on now to April 15th. FX is debuting Fargo. Why does that title sound familiar to me, Michael?
Right. Well, you know, it's a reimagining of the movie. It's not a remake of the movie, and it's not a sequel of the movie. It's all new characters, but it still has that Coen Brothers sort of feel to it.
Are they behind it?
They're producing it. They're not actively involved in it, but they have put their blessing on it. But it's all new cast. I mean, Billy Bob Thornton, who's amazing, and you know, if you guys are Sherlock fans, which I know some of you
love.
Are, Martin Freeman is fantastic in this, and your buddy Colin Hanks is in this too, and later on, Key and Peele are in it. I mean, the cast
fantastic.
Is. It's insane how good this cast is. And it's just, it's got the spirit and the feel and the sort of, the real irony of the original movie, but it's all new cast, all new sort of characters and story. And it's worth your watch.
That seems almost impossible to capture what happened in Fargo. It's such a unique movie.
But yet they somehow managed to. I mean, it's different. It's not the movie, but it's just as good, I would say.
You know, it's so interesting. I'm so glad we're having you on here. This is the voice of Michael Snyder from TV Guide right now, because, you know, you just rolled off a list of people that I am now excited to see in Fargo. I didn't get that impression at all from the commercials, which is mostly just, you know, when I'm watching Legit or something, they put up that ad of Billy Bob Thornton eating a steak. I mean, that's all they're showing me on Fargo. Like, I think they're selling it short if they've got that great a cast and they're not letting me know that.
They may. I didn't even mention Bob Odenkirk, who's also in it.
Right.
Love him, too. So, yeah, it's a great cast. You know, I think FX does a great job of marketing their shows, but they also, they do it in a really unique way. It's really artsy, and it's sort of, it sort of just smacks you in the face. You don't always know what the show is they're marketing, but they make some noise. So I think as we get closer to the launch on April 15, maybe you'll hear more about what the show's really about.
All right, April 24th is another one that I'm guessing has something to do with the movie made into a TV show, because it is called Bad Teacher. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a new CBS comedy. Yeah, it is based on the movie, actually.
How do we like that one?
So, you know, it's a network sitcom. So, you know, like, you kind of have to judge it a little differently, I suppose. But, you know, it's a CBS sitcom, and you know, CBS sitcoms do very well. So,
we'll
see.
So,
yeah, they do very well, but they're not for anyone we know. Exactly.
Right. I don't have as much to say about that, but you know, it could be good. I check it out.
Here's all I know is that your voice went much higher right there.
I gotta stay in good grace with CBS because I'm TV Guide, but you know, do what you want.
CBS, right?
Sure.
That same night, April 24th, another new show debuts called Black Box, and this is sort of House-ish. It's another doctor who is kind of screwed up, right?
Yeah. It's sort of ABC's take on the you know that kind of serialized House. There's sort of it's a doctor who's got I forget what the ailment is, but
it's a brain tumor or something, isn't it?
Yeah. There's something that sort of gives her the ability to solve things and figure out things, and so that's sort of the gimmick there.
Have you seen it? Is it good?
So I've read the script, but they actually haven't sent out the episode.
Okay.
Yet, so.
All right. We're gonna have to leave it there in terms of new shows for April, but maybe we'll have you back and do the same thing for May, because I see there are just as many new things coming down the pike. But I did want to mention just two things.
24 is coming back. Penny Dreadful on Showtime. Yeah, we'll talk about that next time.
And also, I wanted to put in a plug for one of the great shows on television, and I hope that season two is going to be gangbusters for the return of Orphan Black on April the 19th.
Yes.
I mean, I think, I hope this is one of those shows that did fine while it was on, but I hope a lot of people discovered it through Netflix and DVD, and they're really going to be excited when it comes back, because that show is great, right, Michael?
Yeah, I can't stress enough. If you haven't watched it yet, now's the time. Go binge it. Go binge it this weekend.
And there's only
up to speed.
Correct me if I'm wrong. There's only like 9 or 10 episodes, right?
Yeah, it's easy to binge, and it's a lot of fun. And once you watch one or two episodes of Orphan Black, you're in it. You're in, sleep. You won't be sleeping that night. You'll be watching all of it.
So good.
Our friend Michael Snyder
coming back this weekend too. Don't forget Veep. It's great.
Yes,
Veep
indeed is so funny. At Franklin Avenue on Twitter, TVGuide.com or FranklinAvenue.net if you want to follow more with the LA Bureau Chief of TV Guide. Time Magazine, Mr. Michael Schneider. Thanks so much for the time, sir.
Bye, dear Mark.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:26.
That means we're a little over half an hour away from hooking you up with tickets in the Party Bus section to Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014. Party Bus not included. That's going to be this Saturday at the Shrine with all of our favorite comedy friends on stage for one big night. VIP reception with Kevin and Bean, limited edition Party Bus section show t-shirt, VIP parking. That's just after 8 o'clock this morning here on KROQ. Don't miss it.
Here's a headline, cocaine-filled condoms sent to the Vatican.
Interesting transport system.
Yeah. Interesting destination.
Yeah, that too.
Indeed.
German customs officials intercepted a shipment of cocaine destined for the Vatican in January. Apparently it was about 12 ounces, 14 condoms. But if you're in the Vatican, you can't use condoms, right? So how do you get your cocaine? Well, I don't think they thought that through.
Those are all good questions.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess it's just a reasonable transport system. Don't they put them in condoms because they're harder to detect somehow, like for dogs or something? Isn't there some deal like that?
I haven't really smuggled cocaine, so I don't know.
Well, here's what's curious to me. There was no recipient's name on the package. It was just sent to the Vatican Post Office, but it was coming from South America. And I think we all know who's famously from Argentina. And I think you know that the man we're talking about, Pope Francis himself, joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, Your Holiness.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good.
We're doing fine, sir, but we're a little concerned. As popular as you have been now in the papacy for a year, there's a little bit of a hint of scandal here that you might have some involvement in these drugs being transported.
Well, it's an embarrassing story for sure.
Uh-huh.
But it's just sent to the Vatican Post Office.
Right, just generic, right.
There's 800 residents within the state of the Vatican.
How many of them are from South America?
Roughly 25, 30.
Okay.
From South America.
Okay.
But if the drugs come from South America, anyone who could be using the drugs would have, the package come from that area.
Yeah, okay. I understand. It makes sense. Look, I know that there's no proof that you were involved. It sounds
like you're trying to say something.
It just raised eyebrows because
I don't like what you infer.
It's a strange story. I mean,
yes, life can be strange.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Don't make me kick your ass.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
You did used to be a bouncer. That is true, actually.
I used to be a bouncer in a nightclub. I could kick your ass easily.
And where was the nightclub?
Where was the nightclub?
Yeah, it was in South America, wasn't it? I'm saying, Your Holiness, you have some answering to do.
I am, frankly, disturbed by the tone of this whole phone call.
I mean, do you have some answering to do is what I meant.
I have no answering, no questioning.
Okay,
You call me and here. I am in interrupt morning prayers.
Oh, uh-huh. For Your Holiness, come on!
And you can put your saying, it's a, you guys are assholes.
You can put your phone on vibrate too. You know that, right?
No,
you
don't have to pick up. You can't do that in the Catholic Church.
Oh, is that right?
You're not allowed to put your phone
on vibrate?
Nothing
in your pocket that vibrates.
Oh, I see. I got it.
Big no.
Look, your name wasn't on the package. All we're saying is any of your little Vatican lackeys could have hopped on over to the post office.
Okay, hold on. Time out.
What?
Vatican lackeys.
Right.
This is, what I'm saying is disrespect. Disrespect.
No, I'm just saying any of your people could have gone and picked up the package for you, brought it back to you. No one's the wiser. We're just asking the question. That's all.
I don't really like you.
We're not asking the question from us. We're saying other people might get...
What's happening there,
Your Holiness? What'd you say?
We were asking you about people who could have picked up the cocaine.
Woo! Yeah! Hey, good morning. How you doing?
We're good.
Good, I'm a good too.
Yeah, we've been talking for about 5 minutes now.
Uh-huh. This is not a better conversation for me to have it.
So, just to wrap up here, Pope Francis, you do or do not know anything about the cocaine-filled condom sent to the Vatican?
Wait, what's happening right now?
My lips are smacking. I can't stop them.
I see.
I don't know why. It's party time in Vatican.
Wow. I didn't think it was ever party time in Vatican.
Get the glow stick. Everybody get a glow stick.
Get the glow stick.
I pulled Frankie in the house.
All right.
All right, Your Holiness, we'll let you go. You sound busy.
All right, God bless you.
Okay. You too.
You know how people listen to the Kevin Bean Show, Kevin, and they hear us and they go, boy, those guys are in the wrong line of work.
Oh, absolutely. Daily, yes.
I think they might be right, because now I realize the kind of money you can make playing Call of Duty. I've been wasting all this time working on this stupid radio show when I could be playing Call of Duty. $1 million in prize money at the Call of Duty Championship that just happened this past weekend in Los Angeles. We wanted to find out more about this and what's new in video games these days. And we went to Machinima.com, which is the gamer lifestyle channel. They got a program on there called Inside Gaming. Co-host of that show is Bruce Green, who joins us on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Bruce, how are you, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Is this true that you one time used to work for K-Rock?
I used to work for K-Rock about 7 years ago, actually.
Were we nice to you or were we dicks?
You guys were nice to me, but I couldn't really talk to you because I was pretty low on the totem pole there.
Really? They tell you not to talk to us?
No, they didn't tell me to.
Oh, that would be awesome. Don't look us in the eye either, people.
I was afraid to talk to you.
Well, it looks like you escaped and you went on and you've done big things. This Machinima, this is a huge website, dude.
Yeah, I mean, we got 11 million subscribers on YouTube.com/Machinima, and we're kind of doing our own thing on YouTube.com/InsideGaming. But yeah, it seems like a lot of people. It really does. There's a lot of people watching. It's crazy. It's almost bigger than TV at this point.
Tell us about last weekend at Staples Center.
Okay. So it wasn't at Staples. It was at LA Live.
LA Live. Okay.
Call of Duty Championships is the second year this has happened, and what this means is basically you get 32 teams of four guys each going in playing Call of Duty over the weekend for $1 million in prize money. Now, first place won $400,000, and that's split between four guys, right? And then you got second place is $200,000, and so on. The first eight teams win money. So it's not quite winning $1 million just for playing Call of Duty, but again, this requires so much practice. These guys are playing 16 hours a day. It's insanity in terms of
there's a thin line between a complete loser without a job spending all day playing Call of Duty and a what they call professional player.
Well, I guess the crazy part about COD Champs is if you, like, for example, if you had entered back in January, anybody could enter. So if you guys wanted to, you could start your own clan or team, and then you could play Call of Duty for $1 million. I mean, that's all it would take if you got really good.
That's fascinating. I mean, look, like Kevin said, a lot of these guys may end up being losers, but at least some of them went home and said to their parents where they still live, they said, hey, I just won $100,000 as a part of the championship team, right? I mean, that's real money.
No, yeah, and there's actually a guy that won first place. He's on the first place team this year. I believe he won last year as well, and he has won a total of about $220,000 in the last 3 years for playing Call of Duty.
What?
And I believe he's only 21. So
that's amazing.
He's a member of this Complexity or no?
Yes, exactly. He's a member of Complexity, the team that won. Yeah.
Now, Bruce, if you can, because we have a lot of Call of Duty players listening to the show right now, how good are these guys? Like, what are they doing that makes them among the best in the world?
All right, so it's kind of one of those things that only comes with practice. And I know I know I'm terrible at Call of Duty.
Right.
When I get online, I get destroyed over and over and over. And I've been playing video games for 10 years. So I don't know how often you guys play Call of Duty.
Not that often, even. I'm worse than you are by far.
But if you get online, are you able to make a few kills and, like, you know, sort of feel good about yourself? Does that ever happen or no?
That's a big no.
It's a big no. Okay. So these guys are playing 16, I mean, I've heard 16, 18, 20 hours a day sometimes. They're playing Call of Duty for years. It just comes with a Twitch. It's just the Twitch reactions that they have. They've gotten used to it. They know the strats in terms. Oh, sorry, strategies.
Take it easy, man. They know the strats.
They know the strats. They know the maps. They know everything backwards and forwards. And again, Call of Duty Ghosts, which is the game they played on, only just came out back in November. So they've only been playing the game for, you know, a few months. It's obviously
standard. But when you say a few months, every day for 16 hours,
that's like years. Yeah. That's like years for the rest of us.
That is exactly what they've done. They have basically played every single day with their team and come up with, you know, strategies to win.
What do they do for a living? I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of teams I'm sure there are a lot of teams that practice a lot and don't win.
There are. You're right. That's actually a really good point. Those other teams that don't necessarily win a lot of money They're sponsored. They're sponsored by other, you know, like pro gaming companies and things really? Like that.
So this is actually a thing. It's a career you can choose.
This is actually what's called esports. Have you guys heard of esports at all?
Yes, 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 yes.
You can't yell at your kids anymore for playing video games.
I'm going to win $400,000 one day.
Okay. I mean, well, in my opinion, actually, you can win more money right now playing other games like League of Legends and like StarCraft is huge in Korea. So it's one of those things that there's a lot of money in video games right now.
Are they like rock stars, these people?
They can be. In Korea, they put them in giant arenas, and then hundreds of thousands of people watch them play StarCraft.
Isn't that something?
Hundreds of thousands.
So, yeah. Bruce Green is on the phone with us here. He's on Machinima.com. We're talking. He's one of the co-hosts of Inside Gaming on that channel. It sounds like we could be having this same conversation 40 years ago about skateboarding. I mean, just people are looking at it and they're going, what? There's no way to make a living. But there's a generation of people who are doing just that, and it's only going to get bigger.
That's correct. It's one of those things that's on the rise right now. People are starting to realize it exists, and I think it's one of the, again in 10 years when we start. We're all watching. It may not be Call of Duty, but when we're all watching a video game,
sure.
You know, people playing for millions and millions of dollars, it'll be accepted. It'll be just part of the culture.
Is any of this hit ESPN yet?
I've seen a few things on television, but it's very rare. Most of the time, it's on either like Twitch. Or on YouTube, or it's streaming. So you can kind of just watch it whenever you want on the internet. But I have seen a couple of things on television. I don't think it was on ESPN.
Right. It'll get there, though.
I was looking around on YouTube, and it is endless, the number of videos that are up of people playing video games. I was really surprised by that, because if I have time, I'm going to want to play a game. I don't know that I'm going to want to sit and watch somebody else play.
It's funny because I'm like you. I'm the same way. I only have a little bit of free time, so I want to play a video game. Now, if you're, let's say, 12, 14 years old, 16 years old, you've got plenty of time. You're gonna go and play YouTube.
You go to YouTube, and then you look at it, and you go, come check this out. This is epic.
Yep.
This, and then
exactly.
That's call
exactly.
your friends in to watch a YouTube video of somebody else playing a video game.
Yeah. No, and it's been going on YouTube for as long as YouTube has been a thing. So
wow, that is fascinating. Thank you so much for taking us inside that that event last year. What's coming up on Inside Gaming this week that you want to mention before we let you go here, Bruce?
We're a daily news show, so it's kind of one of those things that we end up covering daily news stories as they happen. So we just covered like the Facebook buying Oculus Rift thing. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yes.
But that was pretty crazy. You know, everybody's going to worry that Facebook's buying into virtual reality, but I think Oculus Rift is sort of the first virtual reality thing that people actually want to buy.
Right.
I don't know if you guys played Virtual Boy when that came out a long
time
ago.
Did not, no.
I am waiting for sex robots, Bruce. That's the virtual reality that I want to buy.
Oculus Rift already has that. You can already get like VR porn. That's everywhere. You can totally, if you buy Oculus Rift for like $300, there's VR porn. You can do it.
It was so worth coming in today just for that. Go to Machinima.com. Bruce's channel is Inside Gaming. Great stuff, man. Great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for the time.
Of course. Thanks again, guys.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Excuse me. Kevin and Bean show at 7:56.
Kevin's delivery from South America just arrived, Ralph, so he's having a little trouble digesting.
Boy, listen to Pope. I was thinking, I got to get back into cocaine.
You miss it, don't you? You miss it.
That sounded fun.
Hey, we'll give you a chance to win some tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness in the Party Bus section coming up next hour. Also, we're going to talk to Kevin and Bean listeners next about what you smoked to get high. Yesterday, we were telling you about how it's very popular now to smoke coffee. We want to find out what you smoked to get high. So you can give us a call coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph Sir with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I weep for the future.
Why?
Because people are dumb.
Yeah, but people are dumb, and then they grow up, and they're fine.
Yeah, but they're still dumb.
Look at me. I used to be an asshole.
Uh-huh. And what has changed so much? It's like it never dawned on me when I was, even as a stupid youth, it never dawned on me to smoke anything that wasn't smokable, that wasn't already preordained as a smoke.
I set everything that I came in contact with on fire.
Well, we know that because you're damaged.
Okay, but I'm saying I grew up to be a normal...
No, you didn't.
...human being.
So you can't even finish that sentence.
An important part of society.
An important part of society. Whose society are you important in? And I want out if I happen to be in that society.
I don't have an answer for that.
All right. Before I get to showbiz news, because I do have 2 minutes. Thanks, fellas. I've got tickets to give away to the premiere of Transcendence. This movie looks awesome.
does.
Looks thoughtful and terrifying and futuristic and exciting and science fiction-y.
And what a cast, by the way.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. You got, of course, Rebecca Hall, who I just adore.
I do, too.
She's sexy and talented and great. Morgan Freeman, Paul Bettany, just a who's who, if you will, of Hollywood talent. Led off, of course, by the man himself, Mr. Johnny Depp.
I guess I'd be all right.
He's good in everything.
Yeah.
This is the story of a scientist who downloads his mind into a computer because he knows he's going to die, along with the help of his wife, another scientist. And they think they are saving him. They think they are taking his essence and perpetuating it beyond this mortal coil that we all shuffle off.
I wish I could do that.
Downloading his personality and brains and intellect into this computer, but that's a bad idea. Don't do that, people. If you're trying that at home, don't do that. Looks terrific. It's in theaters everywhere on Friday, April the 18th. The premiere will be at the Westwood Bruin Theater on Thursday, April the 10th. I've got 5 pairs of passes to attend the premiere of Transcendence, but I'm not going to give it just to anybody. I want some true Johnny Depp fans to have a chance to see this film early. So here's your Johnny Depp trivia question of the morning. Depp, of course, is one of our greatest actors. I firmly believe that. Only the range the guy has shown in the course of his body of work is unlike any other movie star we've ever seen.
I agree.
Whether you think it's successful or not, every performance he gives can be wildly different from the other and wildly different than the planet Earth sometimes. Just a brave, remarkable actor. But he's also a pretty damn good director, too. He directed a short film about John Frusciante, a little short film about him once on television. Yeah. He's working currently. He's in post-production on a documentary he did about Keith Richards, which I'm looking forward to seeing. But what was his feature film directorial debut? What was the name of the movie that he directed in 1997? If you know the answer to that, call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First person through, or first 5 people through with the correct answer, will get a chance to see the premiere of Transcendence. Is George Clooney truly in love? Star Magazine says this is the one. This is the one.
Right, but no, it isn't.
Amal Alamuddin is her name. Amal Alamuddin.
Just guessing with the bell. It's George Clooney.
Yeah, and she's an international lawyer, too, by the way.
Okay.
She is a little ridiculous. She's like the female George Clooney. She's got brains, looks, everything. In fact, they say he's worried he might not be good enough for her. To which I say, pshaw, George. don't you doubt yourself. You're still George Clooney. Don't ever forget that, George Clooney. She's lucky to have you, George Clooney.
Why do you keep calling him by his first and last name?
Because he's George Clooney and he deserves our respect.
All right.
So I hope he's happy. James Vanderbeek has that new movie coming out, Friends with Better Lives. He was interviewed recently in In Touch Weekly magazine, and he admitted that the rumors are true. He once lent an underage Justin Timberlake his ID to get into a club.
That's funny.
James gave it to Justin, gave him his driver's license so he could get into a Prince concert that was playing in Las Vegas. That was 21 and older, so he let Justin sneak in on his ID. I don't think they look all that much alike, but maybe back in the day no one really knew. I don't think he'd get away with that now. You know, Vanderbeek's on the phone like, hey, JT, remember? Hey, buddy, remember that time I helped you out?
You went to that show?
And I thought this was fascinating. They do a list every year of an organization called Core Brands. They run a poll every year to see what the most powerful brand is in the world.
Okay.
It's across the globe. Most powerful brand across this great planet of ours. Interesting to see what people still hold up as the greatest brands in consumerism.
I have a guess.
Let me give you a little, throw out a couple things first. Among the top 25, for example, Microsoft was 11.
Okay.
Google was 26th. Amazon.com, I guess they do the top 100. Amazon.com was 91st.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. So if you can, please, for $1,000, name for me the top 10 brands in the world.
Do I get $1,000 if I just name one of the top 10?
Nope. Oh. All of them.
Coca-Cola
was B by
number
guess.
One. You two rock.
Yep.
Coca-Cola, the most powerful brand on the planet Earth.
Wow.
That doesn't surprise me.
What do you think second is? I think this will surprise you.
Second. McDonald's.
Nope. McDonald's, by the way, not in the top 10.
That's a surprise to me.
Apple's in the top 10, isn't it?
Apple is in the top 10. Oh, nice. It's number 10, Lisa. It's number 10.
Oh, wow.
Kevin and Bean Gravy?
Kevin and Bean Gravy. Third. Not number two, but third. We don't have any time, so I'll just burn through them. But I'll go from the 10th to the 1st. Apple, as I mentioned, was 10th. Kellogg's, 9th.
No kidding.
Okay.
American Express was 8th. Pepsi was 7th.
Sure.
Disney was 6th.
Okay.
This was shocking to me. Harley Davidson, 5th.
Oh, really?
Wow. But this is interesting, Ralph, because people do go out to buy a Harley. I mean, that is a brand that stands for excellence. But I'm surprised to see Kellogg's, because who goes out and looks for cereal because it's from Kellogg's? It's just weird to me.
Especially around the world.
Yeah.
I think they are the biggest presence in breakfast cereal around the world, actually. I think they sell their cereals in places where the other brands don't even go.
Okay. And they have other things besides cereal, don't they?
I'm not familiar with that, but perhaps they do.
Okay.
What do you think? Think of Corn Flakes.
Sure. Right.
The most basic of all cereals. That's them.
Sure.
That's right. You know? Rice Krispies. That's them. I mentioned Harley Davidson was 5th. Johnson & Johnson. Sure. What a wide range of products they provide for you, right? Bayer. 3rd.
Oh.
Bayer.
Oh. Interesting.
Bayer. Which is funny the more you say it. Bayer. It sounds weird. Bayer. Bayer. And number 2? Hershey.
Hershey.
Of course. In fact, there's many highways named Hershey.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes. You can travel the Hershey Highway.
Sure.
In almost every place on this great planet of ours known as Earth, you can take the Hershey Highway. Almost everywhere.
Not in Sochi, though.
No, not in Sochi.
Right.
All right. We have a winner, believe it or not.
I think Timothy on line 4 was the first caller through with the correct answer. Timothy?
Yeah.
What was the name of Johnny Depp's feature film directorial debut?
Unfortunately, I know this because of my wife, and it is The Brave.
Well, do you not like your wife, or do you not like The Brave?
Her wife loves Johnny Depp.
Horrible movie.
It's a complex movie. It's a challenging film. I, for one, enjoyed it, but you're entitled to your opinion.
I'm not intelligent.
However, you did know the answer. That means you're going to get 2 passes to go see the premiere of Transcendence.
Awesome.
All right, hold on. We're going to give you all the details, Tim. Also, congratulations to Carol and Brandon and Anne-Marie and Aaron, who also had the correct answer, The Brave. Today's celebrity birthdays, real quickly, Christopher Maloney, 53 years old. Clark Gregg, our good friend, talented man, 52. Rosalind Sanchez is 41. Adam Rodriguez is 39 years old. And Michael Fassbender turns 37. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
What, are you filling out a diary? What's going on?
Nope. Just taking down some verbatim words that came out of your mouth.
Oh, this isn't going to be a thanks for that info. Oh, come on.
Hey, don't say it. I won't write it.
Hey, let's revisit a topic we mentioned briefly in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday, and that is beanheads. These are people who, predominantly young people, who don't have access to maybe high-quality drugs.
Any drugs.
Who are smoking coffee. I think we have a little bit of the report.
In today's health report, teens are getting their caffeine fix in a way never thought of before. They're smoking it. Coffee smoking is a dangerous new trend that's going viral among teens. We've heard of people eating coffee beans, but smoking them is a whole other thing. There are websites popping up online that will teach kids step by step how to roll their own caffeine stick.
Kids that need to be taught how to do that are idiots.
Everyone knows how to roll, right?
Everybody knows how to roll it. For God's sakes.
Well, when we started talking about smoking coffee yesterday, we ended up getting into a conversation after the show with members of our staff, including Omar in particular, who joins us in studio, about the things that you tried to smoke to get a cheap high when you were young. And we thought it might be fun to hear Omar's story and then maybe take some calls from our listeners at 1-800-520-1067. What did you try to smoke, or did you smoke, to try to get a buzz on? That's the topic.
It didn't
on the table.
Have to have worked. It's funnier if it didn't.
Yeah, it did. What I smoked didn't work. You know that banana peel, that like inner lining that kind of peels off?
Yeah,
the banana peel, or whatever. Yeah. So when I was in high school, I heard if you dry that out, you crush it up, and then you stick it in a pipe and you smoke it, that you would get a high.
Smoke the banana peel,
right? So we'd peel it all off, let it dry, you know, during the day.
That's a long process.
We crushed it up, stuck in the pipe, smoked it, waited for about a half hour, nothing.
You're like, come on.
Nothing. Yeah, exactly. And then, well, you know, I also smoked oregano by mistake.
What do you mean by mistake?
My buddy wanted to buy some weed.
Right.
And he got ripped off. And we didn't find out till later it was oregano. And, so we smoked it through a little Coca-Cola can because we couldn't afford a pipe at the time.
Of course.
And we light it up, and we're like, 10 minutes later, I was like, you feel something? And we're like, oh, yeah, I think I feel something.
Yeah.
I feel something.
You just
oregano.
You just wanted to
badly. So bad wanted to get high.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
That's funny. Dave, the King of Mexico, also in studio with us. Dave, you got something to share on this?
Yeah, well, there was this book called The Anarchist Cookbook, which gave you so many different ways to get high, and the banana peels were in there.
Right.
But I tried smoking peanut skins.
Peanut skins?
You know, the little skin on the actual peanut, not the shell. Not the shell.
Okay.
But there's a little skin that's on the peanut.
Okay.
You get a bunch of them, you crush it up.
It sounds like it takes even longer.
Yeah. You should have seen this. It was horrible.
The amount of energy and effort and patience they put into getting high and never once put that into school.
But it was so much cheaper than trying to buy actual weed.
Unless you count your time.
Yeah, but I used
but time.
Yeah, exactly. I had nothing but time in your kids. Yeah, so we used a bong, and it's just a nice, just crisp, burning sensation.
Oh, that
just kills your throat.
No high at all,
No high at all.
No cheap high quick death?
Uh-uh.
Huh. I can't imagine how labor-intensive it would be to pull the skins off of peanuts to try to smoke. I mean, that just sounds like the worst idea ever, Dave.
And you're going like balls out because I'm going to get so high. This is going to be so rad.
It's going to be worth it.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to Ricardo real quick. Then we got to take a break, but we have plenty of room for your calls. You smoked what? That's the question on the table here on the Kevin Beach Show. 1-800-520-1067. Ricardo, thanks so much for calling, dude. What happened?
I smoked cinnamon and nothing happened. Then I tried nutmeg and I got so high.
Wait a minute.
Nutmeg?
No. Wait a minute. So you smoked cinnamon and you got nothing?
Yeah.
Then you went nutmeg and you got high?
Yeah.
On nutmeg?
Yeah.
You know what? There is something about nutmeg, and if you were to, whatever that's from originally, if you were to eat it, I think it's actually poisonous.
Good?
You mean the plant or something?
Yeah. So good?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. I kind of remember reading something like that.
What did it feel like, Ricardo, compared to, say, weed?
Man, I'm so high.
Nothing like weed.
What was
it like then? What was it? What was the sensation? Because I might need to get some nutmeg.
I just felt alert. Like, I took a walk. Sex was good.
That's not high. That's... What the hell? You can walk and have good sex without smoking nutmeg.
That sounds like you had a cup of coffee is what it sounds like.
Well, I get high off of weed and have great sex.
So all right. Take it easy.
Yeah, easy with attitude.
Yeah,
all right. If
you smoke nutmeg, you could get a LSD effect.
Oh. And as little as 0.2 ounces could lead to convulsions and 0.3 could cause seizures.
Let's do it!
All right. Seizures.
No, all right, Ricardo. Thanks for the call. Andrea, you hang on. And Andy and Jasmine and Paul, this is right in our listeners' wheelhouse. What'd you smoke? We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dear Kevin and Bean, while at YMCA camp at Big Bear, me and a bunch of other campers attempted to smoke Lipton tea bags. It was horrible, made the entire room smell like really bad skunk weed, and we all had horrible coughs afterward. Not my proudest moment. We're talking about what you tried to smoke to get high. Some people right now are smoking coffee. That's been in the news lately, but I know our Kevin and Bean listeners can outdo that. Let's go to Bobby. He's on line 6 to get us going, because Kevin, when you're in jail, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Oh, well, can't you get drugs in jail?
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Bobby.
Yeah, no, we weren't able to get drugs. I worked in the kitchen, and people were, like, stripping the corn husks off the corn and drying out the hairs. And
what does that do? Does it get you high?
No, it didn't. We actually rolled it in Bible paper because we didn't have any other paper, and it was disgusting. Like, cigarettes on a whole different level. It did not get us high whatsoever.
What a bummer.
Yeah.
You're in jail. You think you finally figured something out.
Right. You think, hey, at least I'm working in the kitchen. I got access to some stuff, but no, not so good.
No.
All right.
No.
Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Andy. He's up next. He's on line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Andy.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and Bean? Lisa Mann?
Hello.
You smoked what?
Well, anyways, when I was in high school, we laced cigarettes with toothpaste, and we tried to smoke that. We got to dry it out and then smoke it.
Cigarettes with toothpaste. Why?
Yeah, try to get a buzz or something, but it just tasted like a menthol cigarette. Nothing really happened.
Yeah. Hmm. Is that all of these I'm taking for granted? Somebody else told you it might be a good idea? Like,
yeah, you know, you're just trying to get high at school and stuff, and just trying to figure something out. And I also did the banana peels. I also did that too.
And what kind of success did you have with that, Omar? Not so much.
Nothing at all.
Just yeah,
tastes like a menthol cigarette.
All right. Maybe, you know, like every meat you've never had before tastes like chicken. It sounds like to that guy, to Andy anyway, everything you smoke tastes like menthol, I guess. Let's go to Brandon. He's on line 5. He's up next on K-Rock.
Hi, Brandon.
Hola. Can it be Lisa May? What's going on?
Hello.
What did you smoke?
I smoked catnip one time.
Catnip?
Seems logical.
It works for the cats. You might as well try it, you know?
Sure.
But wait a minute. What do you mean it works for the cats? Do they get high?
Well, it drives them wild, you know, up the wall, so you never know.
Okay, so you smoked catnip. How was that?
Yeah. It tasted like a dirty sock.
Good.
That's quite an endorsement. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate that. On Facebook, Kevin and Bean Facebook's page, Renee writes in, I tried to smoke hollow twigs from a tree. Because they were hollow, I was able to inhale smoke. All I did was get me nauseated, and all I tasted was burning wood. Now that I'm older, I think back to that day, and I ask myself, why the hell did I do that?
Yeah, because it is burning wood.
Right,
of course that's what it would taste like.
All right, how about, let's go to Tony. He's on line 8. He's smoking something I've never even heard of.
Hey, Tony.
Good morning, Podemos table. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
What did you smoke?
Heavenly Blue Morning Glory seeds.
Morning Glory. Is that a flower?
It's a flower, yeah. It's actually a very nice flower, but in fact, untreated Heavenly Blue Morning Glory seeds. So
all right.
We went to the nursery, you know, about like, well, if you eat them, they give you an effect like, you know, like a mushroom effect.
Oh, okay. All right.
And did that work?
It's a natural high. Well, so we went to the nursery, got the packs, crushed the seeds, smoked them. You know, it altered you, definitely. I mean, it felt like, you know, we felt something off of it, but I think the headache coming down off of it was even worse than that.
Yeah, that right. Sounds bad.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, you'll get a sensation drinking lighter fluid. It doesn't mean that it accomplishes the goal of getting high. Exactly. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Tony. It's unbelievable how many different things our listeners have smoked. Look at Andrea. She's on line 1.
Yeah, these.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Andrea.
Hello.
What did you smoke?
When I was in 7th grade, my friends and I tried smoking raisins.
Lisa, is that your worst nightmare?
I hate raisins.
What? Lisa hates raisins.
Why did somebody told you it would give you a high?
Well, there was a show on MTV at the time called Clone High, and it was a really terrible show when I think back to it. But they decided that they were going to try to spoof drugs and peer pressure and stuff like that with smoking raisins, so everyone was smoking raisins, and my friends and I thought it was such a good idea. Like, it would have to work. Why would it not? If they're going to have it blatantly on
how
MTV.
Would you, wait, how would you assume it would have to work?
It was on TV, Kevin.
How did it work?
It didn't really work.
Didn't really work.
No, nothing from you. All right, nice try. All right, let's do one more. Let's go to Kyle. He's on line 7. And here's why Kyle is our people, because he smoked this on a dare.
All right, that's the only acceptable reason so far.
Yes.
Hi, Kyle.
Morning, Kevin Bean. Hello, Lisa May.
Hello.
What was the dare?
Well, it was about 10 years ago. I was hanging out with a bunch of friends. We had already gotten really high and picked up some McDonald's. So my friend made the joke, haha, wouldn't it be funny to smoke a chicken nugget? And I said, I'll do it. So I crumbled it up, put it in the pipe, and smoked it.
Smoked a chicken McNugget. And, but you didn't even, they didn't even tell you, like, this will get you high. Like, most of the other callers at least got that perception.
They were hopeful.
Somebody,
yeah.
Right.
We were already pretty messed up, and I kind of figured, hey, look at me, I can do this, and none of you can't. So I went with it. It just gave me breathing problems and made me lightheaded, but other than that, no, there wasn't really any.
Did you lie and tell them this is awesome, you guys should all do it?
No.
Come on!
What a waste of a good chicken McNugget, as far as I'm concerned. Kyle, we appreciate the call. We're going to clear the lines now, change topics here, and look ahead toward this Saturday night at the Shrine. It's the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2014. You want tickets up close in the Party Bus section. VIP reception with the morning show, limited edition Party Bus section t-shirt, and VIP parking. If that sounds like fun, we're looking for contestants to play a game. 1-800-520-1067. Win your tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014 Party Bus section next on K-Rock. You love this game or you don't care for this game?
I am not a fan of this game. Part of my brain is broken, so I do have information up there.
Right.
But occasionally the little arm that reaches over and grabs that piece of information when needed is broken.
Yeah, your access reader is disabled somehow. Right.
Yes.
Well, we're giving away tickets in the Party Bus section for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014 this Saturday night at the Shrine. This is the VIP reception with Kevin and Bean, limited edition Party Bus section t-shirt, VIP parking. We're doing this with a game that we like to call, because it's the title of the game, Does Kevin Know?
Does Kevin know? Does Kevin know? Well, there seems to be some doubt. Does Kevin know? Does Kevin know? I think it's time we all found out. Well, we know he has some knowledge, but it might be pretty small. He thinks he went to college, but he really can't recall. Does Kevin know? Does Kevin know? I think it's time we all found out.
Define went to college.
So I think the way this game is played, Kevin, is that you go into some sort of a cone of silence where you are unable to hear me conversing with the caller on the line. I will present the question to them. It's really up to them. They can decide whether you will know the answer or not. Doesn't matter whether you do or not, just whether they identify whether you will or not. And if they're right, they go into the drawing. Someone will win tickets in the Party Bus section. Are you ready to go away and let us play the game?
Yep.
All right. Goodbye to Kevin. Let's go to our first contestant. This is going to be Tom. He is on line 2, and he joins us. Hi, Tom. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning.
All right, so listen up. Here's the question we're going to ask Kevin when he comes back. For most of the last month, you have heard Kevin complaining about the continuous media coverage of the Malaysian Airlines plane that disappeared over the Indian Ocean without a trace. But does Kevin know the flight number of the missing plane? Will he be able to come up with 370?
Absolutely, he will not.
You say he will not? All right, let's bring Kevin back into the game. Hey, Kevin.
The guy smoked coffee.
Kevin, we're talking to Tom and I are talking about that Malaysian Airlines plane that disappeared.
Yep.
What's the flight number of the plane?
The one that you're so obsessed with that I
don't. One that's been on the news every minute of every day for a month.
It's one of two. It's 307 or 370. It's 30. I'm going to go with 370.
Yes, that is correct. And Tom did not think you would know the answer to that.
In general, that's a good bet. Sorry, Tom.
I didn't know that.
Lisa, F you.
That is unbelievable.
No,
wow, Kevin. Really, Lisa?
No.
Really, Lisa?
Let's do Does Lisa know?
Let's go to Michael P. He's on line 3, and he's next on K-Rock. Hi, Michael.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Say goodbye to Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
All right. Kevin is not a baseball fan, as we all know, but it was hard to miss the opening of this year's Major League season last month because it involved A, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and B, the opening two games being played overseas. Will Kevin know in which country the games were played? Does he remember the Dodgers opened the season in Australia? What do you say, Michael?
You know what? I'm going to say he doesn't know.
You say he will not know. All right. Okay. Let's find out if you're right. Let's bring Kevin back in. Hey,
Tom
Kevin.
Hanks.
Sorry, Tom Hanks. Wouldn't it be amazing if Kevin came back and just nailed it? Kevin, we were talking about baseball, and I know it's not your favorite sport, but the Dodgers made a lot of news this year because they had the opening series for Major League Baseball outside of the United States. In which country were those games played?
That would be Australia.
Australia is correct. Yes. Michael. Ye of little faith. Kevin knew that one. Thanks for playing.
All right. Here we go. Let's go to AJ.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello.
AJ, you ready to play Does Kevin Know?
I think I am.
All right. So far, by the way, 0 for 2. So Kevin's hot today. It's very rare that a new song comes out that is so well-received that it immediately becomes the most played, most popular song on K-Rock. That was the case last week with the new one from the Black Keys. We play it every single morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Will Kevin know the name of the Black Keys song that we play? Will he be able to come up with Fever? What do you think?
Oh, man. If I'm playing the odds, I should go no, but I think he will.
He's very hot today. I think he smoked coffee or something on the way in because for whatever reason, the synapses are fine. But you're going to say no on this one.
No, he said yes. I'm going to say yes.
You're going to say yes. Okay. All right. Let's see how it goes, AJ. Good luck to you, my friend.
A glass-bottom boat.
Kevin, we were just talking about the outstanding new Black Keys song that has taken over the world. It's the most played song here on K-Rock. We play it every morning.
F you.
And I know you love the Black Keys.
And I love the song.
And the song is called...
Shoot.
And the name of the song is...
Oh,
Oh, and if you were to request that one by its title, it would be...
I was so excited. There's a new Black Keys song. It would be... Hero?
Are you kidding me?
I don't know.
I'm so sorry. And Al said, or AJ said, yes, you would come up with Fever. And
Fever!
It is called Fever. I'm so sorry, AJ.
But you're in parking enforcement, so F you.
Never again. Kevin's become AJ's personal 9/11. Never again. All right, we're in sudden death here, kids. It was going to be a drawing, but let's go to Dylan. He's on line 5 to play Does Kevin Know?
Hi, Dylan.
Good morning. Good morning, Dean. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Dylan, how have you been doing as you've been guessing, listening along at home?
You know what? He's screwing everybody over. I'm just hoping he got me this time around. Let's go. Let's see what we got.
He's tough to figure out. He's got the mind of a monkey. All right, Kevin. Kevin will be the first to tell you that he does not care how terrible a movie is as long as it is loud. And every weekend he seems to be able to find the worst film in theaters. Last weekend he saw the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie Sabotage, for instance. But yesterday he revealed that he also saw a terrible Keanu Reeves movie from last year that just came out on DVD. Will Kevin remember the name of that Keanu Reeves movie? Will he come up with 47 Ronin?
I'm going to say yes, he will come up for it. Let's go for it. Let's go, Kevin.
All right. Dylan, good luck to you, my friend. Kevin is back with us. Hey, dude.
Thank you.
Vern Troyer.
No, I'm sorry, it's not. We were talking about movies, Kevin, and how you love terrible movies if they're loud.
Yeah.
And you surprised us all by telling us that a movie that came out on DVD yesterday starring Keanu Reeves is one that you actually saw in the theaters. What was the name of that movie?
Damn it.
It was something Ronin. 42 Ronin.
What did Dylan say?
He said yes.
Wait, what was it?
Dylan, I'm sorry. It was 47 Ronin was the name of the
film. That's close enough. I was in the 40s.
Can we please do it?
Sorry, I don't know what to tell you.
See, this is why this is a hard game, you guys.
But that should be close enough.
All right, we only have one question left, so let's hope Michael C. on line 6. Let's hope you guys are in agreement here, because otherwise we're out of luck. All right, Michael, welcome to the show. You ready to play?
Yes, guys. Good morning. Hey,
good morning.
All right. This weekend, of course, is Kevin Beats April Foolishness 2014. That's the game you're playing to win tickets for. So by now, we've spoken many times in the air about who will be bringing the funny with us this weekend at the Shrine. Will Kevin be able to name all the comedians on the bill?
No way.
All right. Could we say them all the time, every day? You still say no.
But he's been... Whatever I thought he was going to say was the opposite, so I think he would, so this time I'm going to say no.
Okay, that might be a good strategy, Michael. Good luck to you. Let's bring Kevin back into the game. All right, Kevin, last
the
hope.
Surfers.
Michael C. is, he's got his fingers crossed that he's figured you out. He's figured out your strategy here.
I have a strategy?
Kevin, it's to say the opposite of whatever the person on the phone says.
Oh, I see.
Kevin, it means April Foolishness 2014.
Yes!
Kevin, is Saturday night at the Shrine. We are all excited to see it. Can you name all the comedians on the bill?
All of them.
Yeah.
Including?
All of them.
Bean? Including?
You just name the ones that the listeners expect
all
to
right.
see on Saturday
yeah,
night.
Just checking. Jim Jeffries. Tim Minchin. Taylor Williamson. Eddie Ift. Come on now. Give me a second.
All right. You got a second.
That's fine.
Oh.
Too much smoking coffee.
How could I be forgetting him? He's the guy that's been acting in every single TV
That's right.
show. Come on.
That's one of the ones that are still left. We're almost out of time
Adam
here, Kevin.
Carolla.
Yes.
There's got to be a time limit.
Did you say no?
Yes.
Yes, Adam Carolla, yes.
Bastard.
I'm sorry. We were looking for Doug Benson and the great Patton Oswalt also on the bill. It sounds to me like Michael said you would not know. Michael is a winner. He'll be in the party bus section. We'll see you backstage. You got VIP parking. Have fun at the Shrine. And thanks so much, sir, for playing Does Kevin Know?
Does Kevin know? Does Kevin know? Well, I think we all found out.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
To Catch a Predator is the new TV show from our friend Adam Carolla. We'll talk to him about that.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize Adam Carolla was doing To Catch a Predator.
Oh, you know what?
You know what? It's
that's going to be a great show.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
It's similar to that, but it's in fact to catch a contractor. Ah. But they're also touching kids, though, right? It's the same concept,
I think,
right?
It's all put together. Yes.
Touching kids,
contractors with a van or something.
I'll just be your secret lover.
Right. Yeah. We'll get that all sorted out and talk to the Ace Man coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Oh. Things.
Could you be more specific?
Imagine your mom is worth $200 million.
Okay.
Put that in your head.
$200 million.
And then know for a fact that you will never see any of that money when she dies.
Well, now that hurts.
That's a bummer.
How does that make you feel?
Is the mom Candy Spelling, perchance?
The mom is not Candy Spelling,
it's not,
Lisa.
Okay.
But thanks for playing. We do have a lovely home version of our
game. All right,
thank
you.
No, the mom in question is Gloria Vanderbilt.
Oh.
The son is Anderson Cooper.
Why is she cutting him out of the will?
They're close, I thought.
It does not say.
Maybe she's just donating to charity.
But in an interview, he said his 90-year-old mother has already informed him he will not inherit any of her wealth when she dies.
What?
He has lots of money.
And Anderson says he's fine with that. Who's inherited a lot of money that has gone on to do things with their own life, he said. From the time I was growing up, if I felt there was some pot of gold waiting for me, I don't know that I could have been so motivated. So apparently he's known his whole life that he wasn't going to get the money.
Right, but then on her deathbed, she should go, I'm just kidding, here you go.
April Fools.
Yeah.
I'm doing fine on my own. I don't need any of her money. He does make about $11 million a year at CNN, and he lives very comfortably in a converted firehouse in Greenwich Village and has an estate in the Hamptons. And he just signed his latest contract extension to keep him at CNN through the 2016 presidential election. So he's set for a while. But I still think it's...
Yeah.
I know, but...
Yes.
And I get, but...
Because he grew up with that knowledge that she had that much money as well, right?
Yeah, sure.
So
it does seem like if the point of not telling your kids, hey, you've got all this money coming, is because you're worried that they're going to become, you know, worthless... He's beaten that curse. She should say to him on the deathbed, well, you've made something of yourself and you're fine. So because of that, I'm going to give you the money. Right?
But he makes $11 million
a
year. What the hell does he need? $200 million
is more than 11. $200 million is more than 11.
So what? He's got to have so much money now. So, I don't get you people.
I don't get you.
What do you mean by you people, first of all? I think HR would like to have a talk to you. So no word on where the money is going, then?
It does not say.
No. She's giving it to caller 20 or something? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yes, caller 20 right now. 1-800-520. No,
come on,
Anderson. I was just kidding. It's just... No, it's...
We're not
really giving it to caller 20. It was just a lame joke.
She doesn't... She's not...
A lame joke from some morning chuckleheads.
All right. Come on. He's really not taking this well.
Is he laughing or crying?
He's laughing.
I'm not sure.
It's Bean's funny joke about caller 20. How about Chris Brown? He is going to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., on April 17th. He's got to face his day in court there for beating up that guy who tried to photobomb a photo that he was posing for with some fans.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's currently in jail here in Los Angeles. But LA has said, you know what? We'll let you out of jail so you can go over there to maybe go to jail there.
I like it.
As well.
It's a jail tour.
Chris was getting ready for his flight, you know, maybe first class, you know, a little commercial flight. Oh, no. The judge says, you'll be flying Con Air. Are you familiar with the Con Air flights that go back and forth across the country?
I'm familiar with the movie Con Air.
That's the thing.
Orange and the New Black, she talks about it. It's horrible.
It's a real thing. It's basically a gutted jet.
For prisoners.
Oh,
no kidding.
They sit you down and they shackle you, and you are chained for the six-hour flight cross-country.
Good times.
The judge says, yeah, I think that's how you need to fly.
Wow.
Because this will give you a sense of what the experience of really being incarcerated is like. And, by the way, you best use the men's room before Con Air takes off. I don't know if they have bathrooms there.
Wow.
So, Chris Brown on Con Air. Maybe it'll crash just like the movie one.
In Vegas?
There'll be gunfights and stuff, man. Be awesome. Today's celebrity birthdays, Michael Fassbender. He is 37 years old today. Wouldn't you like to take a look?
No.
A good close-up look. Just no. Say, what? Let me just see what that's all about.
No, because I can picture.
I freeze-framed. Does that count?
Yeah, but you know, just if he came in, if he was our guest, wouldn't you right. say, "All right, just drop your pants. Let's say, take a look."
Oh my God, is it really that big?
That's the question we're all asking. We all want to be, you know, for just edification purposes only.
Sure, of course.
Let me just ask. When am I going to see one like that?
They need a pay-per-view for all of the legendary penises in Hollywood. They need to do, you know, Liam Neeson and Dave Duchovny. No, I'm just saying.
Who's going to pay for
they
that?
Do a, pay, they, a lot of ladies would pay for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, out of fetish, too.
I'm just saying, if they had a pay-per-view where all was revealed and they were going to settle once and for all who was the biggest, I think a lot of people would be interested in that.
Just like one after another would just walk into the screen, yep. drop trowel, yeah. and yep. walk off.
Well, you'd have they'd have
the fluff.
Nice too. Music.
You'd
the fluff, and then a guy would come out and measure or whatever.
You
and
a,
then
you had a fluff.
I haven't had an erection like in 11 years.
A laser pointer to point out the problems with it.
Lisa's new reality show, Are You Hung Enough?
No, but Lorenzo like, this Lamas. One's a little lower than this one. I don't know.
You set it up like an Olympic competition where people come out and they compete and you award, you know, first prize, second prize, third prize.
Celebrities would love
it
to do
it would
that.
Be a competition, though. Oh, no, I'll get it.
Hold on.
In your mouth.
Is that Don?
Don on the phone.
He might be. It might be Don. I might have to take this.
Rosalind Sanchez is 41 years old today. Clark Gregg is 52. I'd like to see Clark Gregg's, too, while we're at it.
Okay. I've never heard anything about him.
I haven't either,
okay.
but I'm just curious. I like just Clark. I think he's a good guy. I just want to see
there.
What he's got going.
All right.
And Christopher Maloney. Yeah, not interested. He'd probably tell me he was going to show me and then not show up.
You're
and
so take it.
And then not fulfill his obligations.
We must have seen that in Oz anyway, right?
I think we must have, yes.
Yeah, he's 53 years old. But Oz isn't sexy. I want a sexy situation.
Really?
You know? Soft music, you know.
Feather boa.
Relaxed, everyone just having a good time. You don't want an Oz penis.
No, you're right. Nobody wants Oz penis.
That's what the wizard always complained about. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Our friend Adam Carolla is on the phone. You can see him on the TVs Sunday nights on Spike with a show called Catch a Contractor. Listen up.
I'm Adam Carolla. Before radio and TV, my career was construction. That window's wrong. I did everything from foundation to finish on hundreds of homes. We're going after the worst contractors in America. Tracking them down.
I didn't make a penny there.
Where did you spend the money?
Forcing them to fix their shoddy work and face the homeowners they screwed over.
Left us in a death trap.
Hey, Ace Man. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Great to be back on the show, guys.
You sound all hopped up on coffee.
Yeah.
In that clip.
Yeah, oh, well.
I'm going to kick some ass.
I'd been away from TV for a few years, and when I got back, I didn't realize everything was just yelling everything all the time.
Right, that's how you have to do it.
And you literally... You just do a take where you go, hey, I was a contractor for 10 years, and I go after bad guys, and they're like, no, here's a bullhorn and a soapbox and a canyon, and we need you to do it again. As a matter of fact, I redid so many things where they're like, can we just get you yelling it? They just hit me up like 2 weeks ago going, oh, we need one more thing where you're yelling.
Oh,
and
God.
I'm like, I already said that twice, and I yelled it once, so I'm not going to yell it louder.
Adam, let me ask you this. This is a comment about the text that we just heard you reading in the open of the show. Do you run into people all the time who just think you're just a hired pretty face to be on TV to talk about contracting? Do people have trouble believing that the famous Adam Carolla of the best-selling books and the podcast, The Mangria, is actually a guy who knows what he's talking about?
Well, it's hard to get around the looks, Bean. I mean, I know
they are front and center.
Feel sorry for me because of the matinee idol looks, but obviously it leads them in the wrong direction. Listen, when you're a comedian, people or in radio, people assume you can do nothing else.
And like, 99% of the time, they're right.
Right. Like if somebody said, oh, Doug Benson and Jeff Ross are going to help me raise my barn, you just start laughing, right?
Yes. Right.
So when I tell people I used to build houses, they go, oh, come on, get the hell out of here. And then when I tell them I used to be a boxing instructor, they double over
right.
and just poop themselves.
Sure. So when you show up at the people's house and you're there to help them because they've been the victim of bad workmanship, they're just looking around for, like, where are the juggies, right? Where's Kibble? That's all they're thinking.
Well, the worst part of the show is at the end of the show, it's never on camera. I mean, it's on camera, but it doesn't make the cut. But when we're done putting the house together, Skip's a really good carpenter, my partner, but I'm a really good carpenter, too. And at the end of the job, like, when the cameras go away, the couple always turns to Skip and goes, you did a great job on our place. Boy, thank you very much.
Never you, huh?
I'm a comedian.
Right.
Let me ask you this, because I know one of the things that Skip talked about in the episodes that I've seen is that the reason he's involved in this show, A, you're probably paying him a boatload of money, but B, he thinks that contractors get a bad rep, that lots of people are terrified to hire a contractor because they feel like it's more likely they'll be ripped off than not. And he's fighting hard to kind of change that image, right?
Yeah, he takes it seriously, has a lot of pride about it. He's licensed, he does great work, and it really is a weird thing to sit with another guy who is on a TV show, you know, during lunch or during our breaks, and have these hardcore conversations about building where the guy knows just as much as I do, if
right.
not more. So he's the real deal. He's very sincere about it. I don't care nearly as much. I assume contractors all have a bad name until proven otherwise.
Well, let me ask you that. Is that a valid concern? Because it does seem like this kind of shoddy work gets done everywhere on everybody's house.
Well, I try to explain to people all the time, nobody wants to be a contractor when they're in the ninth grade. Have you ever, we ever talked to a kid and, you know, you go, what do you want to be? I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. No one says, I want to put up siding or replace windows.
That's true.
Or do roofing. Like, nobody wants to do it. They end up doing it because they're horrible students in high school. They fall back into it. They have to work. Sometimes their dad had an outfit and they sort of pass the torch off to them. They would all leave the business tomorrow if you gave them $100,000 today and said never pick up a hammer again in your life. Almost every guy I knew would quit the next day. So most of these guys never set out to get into it. Like, I mean, you ever wonder why security guards are so surly and so crappy for jobs? They didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
They're like 71-year-old waitresses. They're pissed off.
We are talking to our friend Adam Carolla here on the phone about his show, Catch a Contractor, which airs Sunday nights at 10 on Spike. How fun is it for you, Adam, after years of watching 60 Minutes and To Catch a Predator and shows like that where you're the guy with all the information and this poor sap is walking into a room full of cameras and accusations. How fun is it for you to be the guy to be able to drop the hammer on them and tell them what's happening?
It's fun, it's uncomfortable, it's amusing. I mean, the best one, I think, was this big guy named Jose, you know, pulls up in, you know, a car with a Denver boot on one wheel and a Space Saver spare on the other. And as soon as he sees me and Skip, he goes, I'm going to call my attorney. And he whips his phone out.
Really?
And I said, okay, hold on, I want to see where this is going. Go ahead, dial that number with 14 sevens in it.
Right.
And call your attorney. Like, I knew he wasn't going to call. I knew he didn't have his attorney on speed dial. I just found that amusing. It is nice for a change to be the one who has the information. But on the other hand, there is a lot of times when the guys just go, oh, no, what do you mean? I wanted to come back and finish the job. They told me to go home. And sometimes you got to take the word. Like last week's episode, it turned out to be the homeowners that were the
dudes. I saw that. That was the one they were lying about the outdoor shower and everything. Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, which is weird when you're standing there because you got a guy looking you in the eye and he goes, nah, I don't know what you're talking about. And here's when you know he's not lying. When you go, all right, well, they're here in the house. What if I brought them in? Then what would you say? And he goes, oh, they're here? Bring them in.
All right, before we go, Adam, are you still looking for people who have had bad contractors to get on the show?
Yeah, they want to do 20 more episodes, and so we're going to need 20 more bad contractors.
And do they go to Spike's website or yours for that?
You can go to my website. You can go to their website. You can go to YouPorn. I don't know.
All right, and final question for you. One of the episodes that I've seen of your show, let's face it, Adam is the king of the metaphors. Nobody makes analogies and similes, whichever one it is, better than Adam Carolla. But I had a question. You left me a little bit confused with this one, Adam. I hope that if I play it for you, you can explain what you're trying to get at here, okay?
Okay. The Floyds seemed nervous. They seemed apprehensive. And if they were a mood ring, they'd just be going off like a pinball machine.
Okay, so if they were a mood ring, they'd be going off like a pinball machine?
Yeah, you know, not one of my best. I meant they were kind of all over the they were all over the place. I couldn't gauge them. And if they were a mood ring, I'm dating myself. There used to be rings that would let you know what kind of mood you were in.
Right.
You know, because you know when you wake up in the morning and you don't know what kind of mood you're in, and then you stare at your finger and you go, "What? No ring? How do I know what kind of day it's going to be?" Yeah, I just meant it would be changing a lot of different colors and all over the place. But yeah, I'd give it a 4.5.
All right, well, keep fighting the good fight. Catch a Contractor airs Sunday nights at 10 on Spike. AdamCarolla.com for everything else going on in the Ace Man's world. Thanks for the time, sir.
Thank you.
And now, a moment with Bean. Poor sap is walking into a room full of cameras and, you know, accuser because...
That was a moment with Bean.
That is a poor sap.
It is. That poor guy. The funny thing is I was trying to come up with the word accusatory, which I never did. I just eventually just bailed and said, and you accuse him of.
Yeah. That's where you're smarter than I am. I keep trying.
That was a big mistake. Hey, Wednesday morning on the Kevin Beach Show. Rob is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Did they find the plane yet?
No.
Oh. First thing I look at every morning and last thing I look at every night before I go to bed.
Although, Ralph, a Spanish newspaper is reporting that it was shot out of the sky by a foreign government.
Oh, well, that's got to be the truth then, because every report that's come out about the plane has been true.
It has all been proven to be true. That's right.
Yeah. He's got to know.
No. I know the name of every passenger on the plane, Bean said to those people in the office.
Bean couldn't have more interest in this flight if he did have a family member on that plane. It would be
I know the name of the entire flight crew and all the passengers.
He didn't really say that.
Yes, though. He said that.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
It was a joke because we were talking about the game we played earlier of Does Kevin Know? We were all discussing whether Kevin would come up with Flight 370 or not.
Which Kevin did, by the way.
Yes, he did. So associate producer Christine said, I don't think I would have known the flight number. And jokingly, I said, oh, I know the flight number. I know the support crew. I know every passenger on the flight because I love the flight. That was the joke.
Right.
I seriously wasn't suggesting that I knew any of their names.
I would bet you do.
I would, too.
Not all of them. I'll bet you know most of them.
I bet they're tattooed on your ass. I bet the entire passenger manifesto is tattooed on your ass.
He's still obsessed.
Right next to your black box.
Oh, nice.
Which is another tattoo he has.
Sure.
Hey, listen, do this. Watch Jimmy Kimmel tonight.
All right.
He's got former President Bill Clinton on the show.
Yeah!
Finally, a meeting of those two titans, Jimmy Kimmel and Bill Clinton. For now, we're going to get some stuff done.
That's right.
Look, I know that Jimmy has had his late night show for how long now?
27 years.
27
years. 11 years, I want to say.
He's still always just going to be Jimmy to me.
He's still that guy who lights his farts, isn't he?
Yes, and I can't imagine him sitting across from Bill Clinton.
Imagine how he feels.
It's hard to get your head around it.
Get Jimmy on the phone. Let's see if he's nervous about today. Let's get him on the phone. Get Don on the phone, too. While you're at it. Well, they're on a TV show where they're a couple, and they play a couple, but they're really not a couple.
Right.
But in real life, they were pretending not to be a couple.
Right.
But in real life, they were really a couple. How do you like that? All right.
Try it again.
Next story.
Wait.
No, I'm talking, of course, about Kerry Russell and Matthew Rhys from the Americans. Thank you.
Try to help when I can.
I knew you too. I was going to get to that. Right? It was the next thing I was going to say. There had been a rumor about them.
Ticketmaster!
There had been a rumor about them being a couple for some time, which they were denying, but they have been outed. They were spotted on a date! March the 27th at the New York City's Public Theater, where they watched a play called The Library, directed by Steven Soderbergh. And they announced, yes, it's official. We are confirming that we are, in fact, dating. Which may or may not come to news as news to Kerry Russell's husband, Shane Deary, of nearly 7 years.
Uh-oh.
The former couple has a 6-year-old son and a 2-year-old daughter.
That's not ideal.
I would just think you'd be afraid to let anybody be on any show with anybody in Hollywood. Seems like anytime anybody works together, ever.
We spend so much time with them.
Sparks fly.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time with you people. I'm not boning you.
Well, me. Let's be honest.
But you're also not doing love scenes with us either, as they are on The Americans.
Well, or am I? Yeah. You don't know what Kevin and I get doing the 10 o'clock show.
Let's be honest, right?
Yeah, when we go on the internet.
What's happening right now?
Kevin's just effing with me. The Fox show Gotham has a new cast member. They have said that Corey Michael Smith, the actor Corey Michael Smith, will play the Riddler in the upcoming Fox Batman prequel series.
Is that good?
Yeah. Okay. I like the look. So far, they've cast the villains really well in terms of visuals, at least. They look like the guys and they do in the comic books. The Riddler will be Edward Nygma once again, a geeky guy, forensic scientist by day, but socially awkward, wants to be liked, doesn't quite know how. And so his eccentric personality, plus enjoyment of lists and puzzles,
and maps.
How's he feel about the Weather Channel being off DirecTV?
He's furious about the Weather Channel, and so he becomes an arch villain, the Riddler, later on to solve the riddle of where the flight is.
Sure. Ah.
I never just dawned on me, but the Riddler has Asperger's.
Yeah, maybe.
That's why he's the Riddler.
Yeah.
This is all prequel, by the way, so all these characters will grow into their roles. We know them now as the supervillains later on in the show. And there's the little kid who will grow up to be Batman, but we probably won't see that till the very end of the series. Which makes me concerned, because at least with Smallville, you had young Clark Kent with his powers sort of coming into his own as Superman. You knew where it was going.
Right.
This is going to have little kid Bruce Wayne, who won't become Batman for many, many years. It's going to be about the supporting characters around him.
But he also doesn't have superpowers like Superman did.
No, but I get a sense that the center of the story is not going to be about Bruce Wayne, this kid.
Oh,
it's
going to
be about Jim Gordon as a cop and these criminals that are populating Gotham City. And I just hope there isn't a sort of a, okay, but where's Batman feeling to the whole thing, because the supporting characters are the ones getting focused upon. Inductors for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, class of 2014, have been revealed. Bruce Springsteen will do the honors for his own group, the E Street Band. Well, that seems to make sense. Since they're inducting the E Street Band separately, he's going to come out and induct them.
Huh.
They're going to perform together. Glenn Frey, the Eagles, who was in Linda Ronstadt's backing band in the early days, will induct Linda. But she won't be there.
Why not?
Her Parkinson's disease
that's too bad.
Really?
Has made traveling long distance very difficult for her.
Gosh.
She lives in San Francisco. The event is in New York City, and a cross-country flight would have been very difficult and uncomfortable for Linda. So she said she's honored, but she will not be there to accept.
A lot of our listeners may not remember that name, Linda Ronstadt, but she was far and away the most popular female rock star of the 1970s.
Absolutely.
She was just huge. But I understand from her autobiography last year that she wrote, Ralph, that she's pretty much broke now.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Which is super sad. When you're, as popular as she was for as long as she was.
Yeah. Her songs will be performed by Stevie Nicks, Carrie Underwood, Bonnie Raitt, Emmylou Harris, and Sheryl Crow for the show. Michael Stipe of REM will induct Nirvana into the hall. Peter Gabriel will be inducted by Coldplay's Chris Martin. Rage Against the Machine guitarist Tom Morello will do the honors for Kiss. He's inducting Kiss at the event.
How about that?
Yeah. Questlove of the Roots will induct his fellow Philadelphians Daryl Hall and John Oates into the hall. No word yet on who will induct Cat Stevens, because they do not want to wear a shoe bomb. That's in his rider.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Notice that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Maloney's 53 years old today. Clark Gregg turns 52. Rosalind Sanchez celebrates her 41st birthday today. Actor Adam Rodriguez is 39. Which CSI is he on? Miami, I think? Adam Rodriguez?
I don't have an idea. It's too many CSIs.
It is too many CSIs. Michael Fassbender is 37 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show, Karen Gillan will be in here talking about Oculus.
Oh, let's not bury the lead. She was also Amy Pond in Mother Effin' Doctor Who.
Right. But we're going to talk about a future project.
Oh, Amy Pond.
Dr. Drew's going to be on the program tomorrow. We have Rhys Darby.
Not a real doctor.
He is a real doctor.
Not a real
Rhys
doctor.
Rhys Darby, not a real doctor. But it has a TV show to tell you about.
He can make robot sounds.
William H. Mother Effin' Macy.
Yeah.
Come on with that.
Wow. On this show tomorrow.
He truly is shameless.
He is. That's the name
He's
of the show.
Be on this show.
And we've got your tickets to in the party bus section for April Foolishness tomorrow morning on an all-new